First of all,
this is the BS Report with Bill Simmons.
It might be cool, I don't know. And if it's not, I don't care.
The BS Report with Bill Simmons.
Bill Simmons works for ESPN. He's also named the sports guy, and he writes a comical sports column. He must be a popular dude.
The BS Report.
It's got a real dirty sound, like a rusty steak knife cutting through a well-aged steak.
Now.
Here's Bill Simmons.
Welcome to the show. We're doing two podcasts this week. We actually had planned on doing Bill Walton and then Cousin Sal with the weekly picks in the same podcast, but as we found out with Bill Walton needs his own podcast. He can't have a second guest, so we're going to separate this into a second podcast. Cousin Sal, welcome back.
What's happening, Bill? I'm not going to let you get a word in edgewise.
Now, I just set the record for least amount of words I ever said during my own podcast, but I loved it. Bill Walton was really great. It was really fun. Week 13.
Yeah.
Coming up. What are you thinking? How you feeling?
I'm thinking we have a season again. I'm glad, I never thought I'd root for the Eagles, but that was exciting. That was exciting times. It gives hope that there's, someone could challenge the Patriots down the road.
Here's my defense. When A.J. Feely goes to that place, really nobody's beating him. And I don't know if that was a fluke. Like, is A.J. Feely the only one who can get to that level, or are there other quarterbacks? I don't know.
Well, it's not a fluke. And you know what? Because Bill Belichick came out today, and I realized that I've hated him all year, but I admire him for doing this. He claims that the lens caps were left on the cameras the whole time, and that's true thing. I mean, that happens sometimes. And
that's so mean.
That could be a messy situation. I'm glad he admitted it, though. It was really nice.
That's so mean. I actually was getting emails from somebody who was saying, turn on the cameras. We were down. But, what's interesting, though, we've talked about how to beat this Patriots team, I think, at least a couple times in this podcast. I don't think it was really rocket science that you should be blitzing Brady, trying to hit him as much as possible, and then trying to throw screens to your wide receiver over the middle against our slow linebackers.
Yeah, control the clock. I mean, it is going to be interesting to see if the Patriots can win this whole thing without a running game, though. I mean, and that's not to say that Maroney isn't a superstar. They don't seem to get it going or care about getting it going, and I don't know. That'll be a marvelous story if they do it.
Well, my feeling on that is I think they're worried about Maroney holding up through January, and they're trying to get as long as they can through this season without using him, because it's not like he's not talented. Like, we've seen him in stretches last season and this season where you could tell he's good. So there's got to be a reason why they're doing this. I just refuse to believe that they're terrified to run him.
That could be.
I don't know. All right, let's bang out the picks.
All right, you and I, we broke bread together on Thanksgiving, so we kind of both guessed the line at Green Bay at Dallas.
You know what? I forgot to set last week. We didn't do a podcast, and you beat me. We did another dark podcast because of the writer's strike, and this week we're back.
So basically, what happens here? We picked the line. I do the lines on Sunday night, I guess, what the lines for the next week will be, I guess, and then I write down the actual lines, and then here you are guessing, and we compare, and whoever wins at the end of the season gets a free Super Bowl ticket or something.
Something like that. Or it might even be a free all-you-can-eat buffet at the Red Lobster. We'll figure out a prize.
Better for me.
Yeah, but right now you're kicking my butt.
Well, it's 7 weeks to five. I have the lead, and we kick off week 13 with Green Bay at that. Because we watched them play on Thanksgiving, you guessed four, I guessed five, and actually Dallas is given 6.5, so
right,
I get that.
Right, so I lost that one. Okay.
Little high that game, right? Little high, you think that number?
Little high. Feels like it should be a 3-point game.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if they'll beat the angle into the ground that Tony Romo is like a young Brett Favre. That'll be interesting.
Did you know he was a fan of
up.
Brett Favre's? Yeah, he rooted for Brett Favre growing up. I never.
Yeah.
They haven't hit there yet.
It's something
Let me just
that
say
they...
one thing. Yeah.
Go ahead.
No, with the NFL Network and everything and people complaining, I'm sick of it already. Go to a bar, or if you're under 18, whatever the drinking age is, go to a friend's house. You know, you can't miss this game, right? You can't use it as an excuse that you don't have it on your cable lineup.
Yeah, I'm tired of hearing it because nothing's going to change. If it was going to change, it would have changed last season. The cable systems have made it clear that they're not going to add this channel to their system just to get 8 NFL games, and the NFL's holding them hostage. There's no way to resolve it. So go to a bar. I agree with you.
Right. I'm sorry you missed Indianapolis, Atlanta, but if you miss this one, you're not a fan of either team. That's just how it is.
And it's also, it's really not that hard to go to a bar or go to a friend's house. It's not like, I mean, I know we live in a society now where everything has to, we can do everything from our house and there's really no excuse ever to leave. But in this case, it's a good excuse. These are two of the best four teams in the league.
Right. Get out of the house. But, all right. So starting Sunday, San Diego at KC.
Herm Edwards is in trouble with his fans. Some shaky timeout usage.
I don't know, man. I don't, you know, I mean, if you want to get on him for not knowing his players on Hard Knocks in the cut sessions or doing the Coming to America barbershop guy impression, but I don't kill him for going for it on fourth down. What'd you think of that?
I thought 41 yards was a guaranteed miss by the field goal kicker.
That's what I'm saying. We see enough misses every, we see three big field goal misses every week, and fourth and one, it's not like this is the Raiders, Howie Long's on defense here. It's a, yet a, Colby Smith had a huge game. You needed 1 yard. I say good for him. I don't know.
I think I would have disagreed with whatever decision Herm made because I'm at that point with Herm. I'm just going to disagree with whatever he does. But, you know, the over-under for them, the over-under on them going into the season was 5. They've been stuck at 4
really?
For, yeah, they've been stuck at 4 for about 5 weeks.
Uh-oh. Yep. That could be close. That could come close.
Yep.
What do you think for a line for this? San Diego or KC?
I'm going to say San Diego by 3.
Wow. Yeah, you nailed it. It's San Diego by 4, actually. I thought KC would give 1. I don't know why. I was way off on that one.
Yeah, I'm not sold on that Brody Croyo-Colby Smith combo.
I keep forgetting that is what they present each week. All right, San Francisco and Carolina. Carolina's home.
San Francisco with one of the all-time garbage wins last Sunday. Really one of the worst ever.
That was awful.
Neil Racker's 27-yard field goal called off, and then he misses. Who has missed more clutch kicks than Neil Racker's?
I know.
This is like 5, right?
What did he make, like 7 in a game once, and then that was it? Like he was a be-all, end-all. But I don't know. Yeah, he's not that great.
What was this matchup again?
I just want to punch Frank Gore in the freaking face, though, ruining my fantasy season. Just seeing how good he could be again. Like,
yeah, I know.
Every screen pass he caught went for 9 yards, but Carolina's home, San Francisco on the road.
Oh, that is maybe the worst matchup of the season. I'm going to say Carolina by 3.
Yep, we both have it, -3, and it is -3. They haven't won at home in like 2 years, right? Isn't that how it goes?
Carolina has not won for a full calendar year at home.
It should be a policy. It shouldn't be against any fans or anything, but if you don't win at home for a year and a half, you automatically move to Toronto for a year.
Move to Toronto or Vegas or L.A. Yeah, you should lose your team. You should lose your team.
Not doing it for them. Jets at Miami.
Did you watch the Rain Bowl on Monday night?
Sure.
That was... really one of the worst games I've ever watched in any sport.
It was so terrible.
In the top
but
5.
You know what? It makes Miami look like a competitive team. They should almost they should move to a cold weather city or something.
Yeah, maybe they could do that for the last couple games of the season. So wait, Miami's at home against who?
The Jets.
Ooh. I'm gonna say Jets by 2.5.
All right, I get this one barely because I said Jets by 2. And Miami is actually favored in this game by 2 points.
Oh, my God. What an ignominious turn of events for the Jets. Wow.
0-11 team is favored? They can't be favored in week 13 if you're 0-11. I don't get it.
Well, maybe Vegas is thinking that the Dolphins really have 4 more chances to avoid this because they're not going to beat the Pats.
Mm-hmm. That's true. Not with Ricky Williams out there, not.
No, that's a big blow for them.
All right, well, Atlanta at St. Louis, there's no line because, heaven forbid, they figure out the Farratt-Bolger thing by Tuesday. But I thought St. Louis would be favored by 4 in either case.
Yeah, I would have said 4 or 4.5. So we can't guess that one then.
We'll call that a push. All right, Buffalo at Washington.
Well, Washington
Are they even going to play this game? This is what a terrible thing.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, I think they'd have to play it, but it's so hard to say how that's going to affect them, the Taylor thing, which is really like, ugh.
These teams go through tragedy, like Buffalo and Kevin Arrowhead.
Buffalo's at least had a good ending. I'm just going to say Washington by 3.5. I think it's a tough one.
That's at 4.5. It's 5, but who knows how emotion's going to play into this.
Well, usually I think with football is the one sport where it can actually be a positive. Because you just kind of go out there and you're banging bodies and you're forgetting about what happens. So it'll be interesting.
Yeah. Houston and Tennessee.
I mean, Albert Hainsworth is really worth a 30-point swing in each game they play. Why is he not in the MVP discussions?
It's amazing. I know. Peter King has him in the top 5, I think, every week.
He doesn't play, and that swings the result of the game by 30 points?
Well, who's going to run crazy on Tennessee on the Houston squad with or without Hainsworth this week? I don't get it.
I don't know either, but I like that Houston team. I don't care that they lost last week, but I'm going to say Tennessee by 6.
I said 4.5. It's 3.5. So maybe
I thought Hainsworth was playing.
They possibly think he's not playing.
Yeah, I would have guessed
Houston differently. Houston looked terrible. They looked terrible for me last week. I had them against Cleveland.
Yeah, I still like them. I know they had a bad game last week, but I like the fact that they have all their guys back now.
Yeah. All right, you're down 5-2 so far. Seattle at Philly.
Philly, has any team had more swings than Philly this year? They beat Detroit by 56 points or whatever. They almost beat the Pats. They gave up 12 sacks to the Giants. What am I supposed to make of this Philly team?
A.J. Philly inducted into the Hall of Fame after 3 interceptions. I don't know how they do it.
Wait, who's the road team?
Seattle.
I'm going to say Philly by 3.
Yeah, you got it exactly. I said 4.
All right.
I don't know. I could see Philly a big letdown after the near win in New England.
This is, I think, the longest the Seahawks team has ever gone without screwing over people who have wagered on them. It's like three solid weeks that they've covered without, like, a catastrophe.
But that was a two-game difference. Arizona's technically in first place if they hold on in overtime, and Gus Frerotte doesn't fumble at his own at the one.
Right. There were three horrible losses last week because that was terrible. The Arizona loss was terrible, and Denver. We'll get to Denver, but those were three of the worst losses that I can remember in a season.
Yep. All right. Detroit at Minnesota.
I'm starting to think this Minnesota team's pretty good.
I like them, Mariah. Let's look at the rest of the board. If you have a better running back and a better defense, you should win every game, right?
Yeah. And this Lions team looks like it's in a spiral. I'm going to say Minnesota by 4.
I said 3.5, and it's 3, so I get that one.
Oh, I disagree. That's a bad line. Why would you take the Lions in that game?
Let's theoretically bet a lot of money on the Vikings.
All right, let's talk about that. Okay.
Jacksonville at Indy. Another great game.
Oh, nice test for this Jags team. I'm going to say Indy by 7.5.
That's exactly what I said, and it's 7. We both get that one. Jacksonville's playing great ball right now. I could see them knocking Indy down to like a 5 seed or something.
Yeah, I feel like that's a 3-point game. I don't know who wins, but I think that's a field goal game.
Gerard doesn't have an interception this year. He's the only starter, I said.
No, he's been – we always hear game manager, but I feel like – and usually it's used – to say something nice about a QB who's not good, but he is kind of a game manager. Like, he can create a couple of plays for his team, and he doesn't make any mistakes. He kind of keeps them in every game.
Yeah.
I like him.
Denver at Oakland.
Denver had basically still a tie for the AFC West, and they screwed it up. Terrible.
Even though the game's 1,000 miles away, I still feel Shanahan's going to find a way to punt to Hester in this one. He's not going to learn his lesson.
It's so stupid. You'd think after the first one they would have been like, oh, yeah. But no.
I know. I just angle it out of bounds. What's so hard? Even on kickoffs, anything. Just angle it. Getting it at the 40 is so much better than these squib kicks or anything we've seen kicking the Hester. Come on. How many returns do we have to do already?
I was actually thinking it would be funny, like, it, not just kicking it out of bounds for Hester, but the kicker almost kicking it at a right angle, like kicking it out of bounds 3 yards down the field, like just to make this point. This is how far we're kicking it out of bounds. We're not going near you.
Or just ground it. Have the quarterback come out. You know, Cutler could ground it on fourth down, like he's killing the clock.
Yeah. I'm going to say Denver by 3.5.
Right, you're closer than I am. I said 1.5. It's 3.
All right.
Good luck picking that one. Here's a good one. Cleveland at Arizona.
Ooh. Could be a shootout.
I think people are betting and winning more money off of Cleveland than they are the Patriots these days.
I know.
They keep going against these soft lines, and they win. I don't know if they win every time.
I was riding them for a while, and last week I jumped off the bandwagon just because I couldn't imagine that it was going to keep going. Like, it had reached a point where everybody was betting on them, which is usually bad. And yet they cover again.
Yeah, but, Vegas is getting slaughtered by them.
We said,
so this is a fun game. This should be a lot of points.
This could be a big screen game for us.
Yep.
I'm going to say, you know what? I'm going to go with a pick 'em.
All right, you're closer. I said Arizona minus 3. It's Arizona minus 1. So.
All right.
You're closer.
That's a nice game. Yeah. I actually emailed you right after the Kurt Warner game-losing fumble asking if that was his 50th or his 49th career game-losing fumble. And you said in his defense, what did you say?
Well, in his defense, he was just looking to cover up for a game-losing safety. So.
Right.
He didn't mean to fumble. He would much rather lost the game on the safety.
I mean, really, nobody's ever been involved in more end-of-the-game tragedies over a five-year span than Kurt Warner.
What a disaster. I'm not sure God's on his side anymore.
No, I don't think so. I don't think so.
Tampa Bay and New Orleans.
I like this Tampa team. I think they're a little, all of a sudden they're a little underrated. I'm going to say New Orleans by 1.
I get that one, I guess, because I said New Orleans by 3.5. They're favored by 3. So that's a tough one. I've seen both these teams play. Actually, Tampa Bay's pretty consistent.
But. Tampa Bay's good. Like, they don't make mistakes, and I don't know. They're pretty solid. I think New Orleans.
New Orleans needs to get blown out or just start winning, because I can't take them at 5-6 and 6-7 the whole rest of the year. Do something. Step up, right? Giants at Chicago. That's just the other big screen game I was thinking I could compete with Cleveland, Arizona for late. But
I was getting emails wondering if Eli Manning fixed that game last week.
He's a disaster.
I don't think he did. I just think he has these games like 2-3 times a year where he just completely falls apart. He's almost like a little kid where you have the little kid has these days where you don't understand why they're just a mess the whole day. And that's what he's like.
He needs to help Tom Coughlin out. Did anyone realize, like, at any point did anyone realize that the biggest choker down the stretch, Tom Coughlin, actually has the word cough in his name?
That's interesting.
People don't look into that. No, you wouldn't put that on your resume because you want the gig. But certainly what's going on here.
I'm
going
to say Bears by 3.
Ooh, all right, you're off on this one. I said Giants by 2. It's Giants by 1.
It's in Chicago?
Yeah, Giants were favored over Detroit, which made me think that's why it'll be 7.
Oh, I don't get that. Why are the Giants better than Chicago? They got killed last week.
Maybe they're just not going to kick the Hester.
They got killed 2 weeks in a row.
Yeah, they've been bad. That's a stay-away game, I think. All right, Cincy at Pittsburgh.
Cincy at Pittsburgh. A lot of bad blood between these two teams. I'm going to say Pittsburgh by 8, and I like Cincinnati.
All right, you get that. I said Pittsburgh by 6. It's 8.5. And yeah, why not take Cincinnati at this point? I wish they were better. I wish they weren't 4-7. I like to watch them in the playoffs.
Yeah, they're a fun team. There's a couple teams that are fun, and it looks like only out of all the fun teams, only Cleveland is actually going to make the playoffs.
Yeah, you got like 6 fantasy guys that you're interested in, and they're much better than 4-7.
Right.
And Monday night, your team plays again at night. By the way, I think I beat you pretty good this week. 3, 6, 7, 8, 9. It's 9-7, so you have to get... We'll make this one worth two.
No, I lost.
New England at Baltimore.
I lost. I'm going to say New England by...
One of your readers has to have sent you this line already.
No, no, no. I have not seen this line. I swear on my kid's life.
All right.
I'm going to say New England by 15 and a half.
Oh, wow. I said 17 and a half, and it's 20.
Really?
It's 20. I know it should be 20. They didn't get up for last week. You can't get up for every game. You just can't. No, I think they'll be back at it this week.
I disagree with that. I thought the Eagles played really well last week. I thought the Pats were up for that game.
Oh, man. I don't know. First of all, Brian Billick is many years removed from being able to put together a game plan to beat this team. So you could forget about that. But, I think you're up 21-3 in the second quarter.
Well, the one thing about the Ravens is that if you take a lead on them, if you have a decent defense, they're not going to come back. Who was the team the Ravens came back against a little bit a couple weeks with Bowler?
It was the Browns. Those are a great game.
Yeah, it was 2 weeks ago. But the Browns have a crappy defense. The Pats actually have a good defense, or a relatively good defense.
You're back on track, buddy. You're going to win 40-6. We'll
I'll tell you, I don't think I've ever enjoyed a Patriots game less than that Eagles game. It was like I didn't see it coming. Especially they get the Samuel touchdown to start the game, so it's 7-0. I'm thinking like, wow, this would be great. We're gonna score 70 points on national TV, and then all of a sudden AJ Feely goes into that zone, and it was just crazy. I felt physically ill in the second half.
I mean, maybe he'll address your sickness a week from today when he's inducted into the Hall of Fame, AJ Feely.
Hold on. I got one last question for you.
Go ahead.
Deep down, as you're watching that second half, is part of you hoping the Pats win because you didn't want to see the undefeated season go up in smoke?
Yeah, sure. Part of me. And like I said, I was torn. I'm a Cowboys fan. You can only root for the Eagles so much. And I want to be the team that beats you February 2nd. I mean, there's other teams in the NFC East better than the Eagles. I know you beat all of them,
If you
wanted them to lose to take the pressure off, right?
No, part of me wanted to lose. I do think if it was a Pats-Dallas Super Bowl and you had the Owens-Moss thing, you had Romo Brady, you had the undefeated season, you had Jerry Jones, Bob Kraft, that might have the most subplots of any Super Bowl.
No, it would be the greatest. You know, and I'll even go on a limb and say I might go out and buy the NFL Network just to see that game.
Wow. You know, I would say we were talking about that Super Bowl on Sunday because – my kid was there and your kid was there. Your kid was wearing a Romo jersey and my kid was wearing a pink Brady jersey and they were playing together and it was just kind of like funny if that would have ended up being the Super Bowl.
maybe that should be our bet that they have to switch jerseys at the end of the year.
For a whole year?
Yeah. Maybe that could be it.
Oh, that's a great bet.
That could be more embarrassing for me.
Well, I think it'd be worse for you because of the pink in the jersey.
By the way,
I never thought I would be one of those dads that allowed their daughter to wear a pink jersey. I don't know what's happened. It's terrible.
Really? I always thought you would.
All right, Sal Iacona, we'll look for your picks on JimmyKimmelLive.net.
All right, and look for Bill and I at the El Cortez Hotel in Vegas watching the games next Sunday, not this Sunday.
Yes. It looks like we're going to Mayweather-Hatton. It looks that way.
That'll be exciting. Are there any chances that you and I take a pilgrimage out to Vegas and bet all our money on Hatton and both win? Is there really any chance that happens? We got to figure something out.
Anything is possible in Vegas. All right, we'll talk to you next week.
Take care, Bill. Thanks.
Bye. Right now we're going to call my buddy Jacko at work because it looks like the Yankees are about to sign or trade for Johan Santana, and he's been very arrogant about it. So I wanted to capture this on tape in case they don't get him.
Hello, John O'Connell.
Johnny!
Hey. What's up, buddy?
I had to call you because I didn't like the tone of one of your emails today. You seemed that you're already getting arrogant about this Johan Santana thing. It hasn't even happened yet. I don't think
premature celebration.
You can't be arrogant over email when there's preliminary trade talks.
Oh, there was no arrogance. That was just a little tongue-in-cheek humor there. There's nothing is close to being done.
There was no tongue-in-cheek humor. You've already got his jersey number picked out. What's going on? You're ready to trade everybody in the team.
I am. I want Johan Santana so badly. It's all I want for Christmas. I really want him. I want him in the same way you wanted Kevin Durant, in an unnatural way.
That's true. Well, I can tell you that I don't want you guys to get Johan, but I think it's going to happen because Hank Steinbrenner has really gone to another level since the last time we talked.
He really has. He's really blossomed into his own. Someday George Steinbrenner may just be known as Hank's father. That's what he's on pace for.
You read the New York Post interview with Hank, right, where he revealed that Jennifer Love Hewitt is his favorite actress?
No, I did not see that. I missed that.
I didn't mail that to you?
No.
Oh, it is one for the ages. He has all, like, his favorite movies and all that stuff, and it's all these,
it's yet another thing Hank and I have in common.
Well, he sounds so intelligent or whatever, and then the last question is, who's your favorite actress? And it was Jennifer Love Hewitt. It was just textbook.
I think his phone rings and it's Cashman, and he's like, Hank, we're making progress in the Santana trade. Do we include Chamberlain? And Hank's like, I'm taping Ghost Whisperer. Can I call you back?
Hold on. It's the last 5 minutes. We're about to find out who the dead father is. The fact that Hank would give a New York Post interview that, I mean, it's almost like a Playboy magazine level interview. Like, it's like 2,000 words.
Really?
And he really goes into a lot of different stuff. I can't believe I didn't mail that to you. It's so funny.
No, I missed that somehow. It's disappointing.
I loved how, though, he stepped up and announced that they were involved, embroiled in the trade talks. Like, who does that? Who?
I know. That's what concerns me, is the Twins are going to get skittish now, or now they're, yeah. You got to keep these things a little bit quiet. And then I loved his answer. They asked a question. They're like, well, the Twins indicated a willingness to that they would trade Santana. And he's like, oh, hell yeah. Oh, my God, yeah. They're practically giving him away. Hank, take it easy.
I think the Twins, they're like having lunch right now together, trying to figure out their game plan, and they're basically just deciding, you know what, Hank Steinbrenner's crazy. We'll probably be able to get five guys from him. Just pretend we're not interested in it, and everything will take care of itself.
Especially if they say, wait a second, Hank, that's the Red Sox on the other line. Just, we're going to put him on hold, you know.
Oh, my God.
Just sit there laughing, and then pick the phone back up, and he'll be like, you want Jeter too? You know.
You know, one of the other revelations in that New York Post interview is that he's a chain smoker.
Yeah, every time I've seen him on TV, he's got a cigarette in his mouth.
Yeah, I love that.
It's good.
I love everything about him. I love his name. I love everything he's said and done. I love the fact that he's in charge of the Yankees. I love the fact that he's half George Steinbrenner. He's got half of George Steinbrenner's DNA in his body.
Right.
It's just all great.
I don't think he's Jim Dolan, though. Like, you know, I don't think we're going to have to worry about that level of ineptness, which was a concern for a little while.
You don't think so?
I don't think he's Guitar Jimmy, no. I think he's a class above that. I'm not positive yet, but I just don't think we're dealing with that.
It's a tough one because, well, first of all, why didn't George always plan on handing the team over to the Twins? Like, it was always like we always heard he was going to hand it to his son-in-law.
Yeah, I know. That's weird. I don't think they're twins, by the way. I think Hank's much older than the other one.
I like calling them the twins, though. I think it's funnier.
All right.
When you say the twins, it adds a level to incompetence from a comedy standpoint that wasn't there before.
True.
I just like calling them the twins. But, yeah, you know, for years and years, who was that guy's name? Steve Swindell?
Steve Swindell, yes.
And they kept saying, oh, yeah, this is the guy that's going to take over. And then somehow he screwed up his marriage, which was really one of the dumbest things ever.
It's really dumb.
That's what cost him the Yankee throne.
You have to, rub your wife's feet, do whatever it takes.
Yeah.
You know, watch a lot of chick flicks, whatever. You have a chance to own the New York Yankees, for God's sake.
Right. So now the Yankees, it seems like almost as a last resort, have been turned over to the Twins.
Yeah.
And now he's in charge of basically giving away all of their prospects. And where's Brian Cashman been during all this? He's been suspiciously quiet.
Yeah, I don't think he's allowed to do anything. They call him in at the end to, like, talk to the press, but he's not involved in these things, I don't think. It sounds like Hank is really hands-on in all these, you know. I don't think there was no talks about Cashman involved in the A-Rod thing. There's no talks about Cashman talking to the Twins, you know. It's Hank coming out there, so that makes you nervous, you know. Like, that literally does make me nervous that Hank has not been involved with his father's baseball team ever, and now he's in there, like, deciding which players are going to go, and, like, he has no conception of who's good or what, you know. That worries me.
Brad Cashman's like, look, our scouts just gave us this report on Ian Kennedy's. I don't need reports.
Exactly.
I saw him pitch twice last year. I know what we have in Ian Kennedy.
Exactly.
Sit down, Brian.
Exactly. It's like he's putting together his roto fantasy team. You know, that worries me.
Oh, it's great. I mean, I there's really no sports parallel to this. Like, you have this team, this powerful baseball franchise that is able to spend more money than everybody else and was in good hands for a long time. And now, you know, they have this whole farm system and they're really like, they've turned it around and they don't just have to spend money to win. And now you have this crazy guy who's taking over the team.
Right.
Who's about to trade five guys for Johan Santana and then probably another two for somebody else. And you're going to be back to where you were in 2001.
You have to wait and see. That's going out a little early on the limb there. You got to see
that's my job.
First. I understand. You have to make these predictions.
Oh, come on. You know that you're getting Johan and you know you're going to overpay for him. It's a mortal lock.
But see, these are the things you can't judge. If they trade Kennedy and Phil Hughes and Melky and those guys all go on to become perennial all-stars for the next 10 years and it's a Jay Buhner, Ken Phelps thing. Yeah, okay, it's a bad job, but I mean, Johan Santana is arguably the best pitcher in baseball. Arguably, because now you're going to come back with Beckett, but he's in the conversation.
Johan's better.
And you know, right now they're running out Qingming Wang as the number one starter, and he couldn't get out of the fifth inning against the Indians in the playoffs. So they definitely need a number one starter. They haven't had one in years. They had Randy Johnson on the way downside of his career. You can get a guy who's 28. I would trade a bunch of guys for him. I don't care.
Look, there's no reason to hide my intentions with the phone call. I don't want you to get your hands.
Yeah, no, I understand.
And my job is to crap all over it so that you feel bad about something that's a good thing.
No, it's not going to happen. It's not going to work. This is not Jay Buhner and Ken Phelps and, you know, trading prospects for aging veterans. The guy's 28 years old. He's left-handed.
I was talking to my dad today about it, and my dad still thinks Johan's coming to the Red Sox because my dad claims that Johan and David Ortiz are friends.
Right.
Is David Ortiz not friends with anybody in baseball?
He loves everybody.
Because my dad thought we were going to get Torrey Hunter, even though right. We have Ellsbury. He just thought they were somehow going to get Torrey Hunter, too, because he's friends with Ortiz.
They grew up in the Twins organization together.
Yeah, like having Ortiz on your team is almost like having an ambassador.
It really is. That is true. That is true. I mean, you know, there was a time when nobody wanted to go play for the Red Sox, and now an overwhelming majority of people do. But they can't have an 80-man roster of all Ortiz's friends throughout baseball. You know?
Well, now it's expanding to other teams because I think Kevin Garnett and Ortiz are friends, and that's one of the reasons Garnett came to the Celtics. So now he's going to help the Patriots and the Celtics and the Bruins get guys, too.
Why don't they just make him the mayor and just be done with it? Make him the mayor of Boston.
I think that's eventually going to happen.
He could lure businesses into Boston and, you know, other professional sports teams.
Well, he pretty much is the mayor of Boston right now. I don't think people in Boston know who the mayor is. They know David Ortiz. So
that's a good point.
They even
show him now, like on SportsCenter, emblazoned in Celtics regalia at Celtics games. So.
All right. So, Johnny, are you worried for 2008 yet? Where are we right now this week?
No, I'm not worried. I'm excited about the prospect of Johan and they're basically the same lineup they had last year. I'm excited about that.
So you're 0.0?
At the moment, yes. Depending on the progress of these trade talks, I feel good at the moment, you know?
Okay. Well, worst of luck, as always.
And to you.
We'll talk to you next week.
Excellent.
All right.
Later.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Whoa.
Thank you for downloading the BS Report with Bill Simmons.
Too much fun.
Check out more podcasts at the iTunes Music Store or at PodCenter at ESPNRadio.com.
Peace out.